Okay, anglers, are you ready for the next adventure? Are you ready to get paid to catch fish? Seriously, go to pikeminnow.org, that's pikeminnow.org, and learn about the Columbia River Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Program. You can earn $5, $6, and up to $8 for every qualifying fish you catch, and maybe even land a $500 tagged fish. Go to the website, pikeminnow.org, and check it out. Print your $10 starter coupon and plan your trip now. Catch fish, catch cash, all summer long.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Evan Rude and BRP ATVs, The Everett Clinic, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Costa Rica's CrocodileBay.com. It's The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise, videos, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, John Martinez.
Good morning, Tom Nelson.
And in the be careful what you ask for, you just may get it category, none other than the prebiotic, probiotic pixie, Julie Sear.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
And greetings to Ashley Cox behind the glass. How you doing, Ash? We just found out that you're an outdoors girl.
Yes.
And it was a dead giveaway when we saw the GMC pickup in the parking lot.
Was it too obvious?
No, it's good. I like it. That's awesome. So, good old Matt, he's down in San Diego this weekend. So Ashley stepping up for us. We really appreciate you being here. So John, a whole lot going on. You and I have been, kind of looking at each other from our respective boats out on Marine Area 9 here, Admiralty Inlet all the way from, Mid Channel Bank on into Possession Bar and, pretty good Chinook angling out there right now.
Tom, this has been some of the most extraordinary Chinook fishing, probably the best in the last decade, even longer. There's not very many days when you see prolonged bites day after day. Anytime there's a season open, it's always really good. There's a pop here and there and a place here and there. But, you go out there, Tom, let's take a look at yesterday morning out there on the very south end of Possession Bar. And there was just fish on everywhere. You called me over there, and we got over there, and we got into fish right away. And I'm telling you what, I couldn't believe how many people were cranking on fish on the end of that bar. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it is. It's a different season. I mean, Admiralty Inlet has been at its enigmatic best this year. I mean, you know yourself, Julia, every season changes, whether whether you're hunting or you're fishing, and the longer I mess around with this stuff, the longer I realize that hunting and fishing, it's the same game.
Yes.
It's just different gear in different places, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So you think you got the critter spotted, you think you know exactly what they're going to do, and you go out on opening day and they completely shuffle the deck.
Yes.
Yeah, and this year absolutely no different. I mean, John, you and I hustled out to Port Townsend on the opener, Mid Channel Bank, and it really wasn't what I expected. I've never seen as many boats on Mid Channel as we saw in the opener, and you and I are partly to blame for that. So I'll own that one.
That kind of died off. It really was very, very good fish in the first few days, but all those boats moved into the inner part of the sound. It did the opposite last year. There was a prolonged bite out at Mid Channel Bank last year, and it kind of spread all the boats out over Puget Sound, but that kind of tapered off, and those fish quickly, just the opposite last year, moved into the central part of the sound, and they just parked themselves at Pilot Point, Possession Bar.
And again, if there's not a whole bunch of groceries for these Chinook, they're not going to stick around.
No, they're not.
And so the deal for me was we got out to Mitchell. I didn't stay very long because all I saw was a whole bunch of boats and no bait. I mean, there was a little bit of bait on the flood. And again, we've been contending with this series of goofy little floods that our morning floods. Now we're starting to flip that script and we're getting a series of morning lows, John. And that, to me, that's going to help a lot of different anglers. It's just like most other bodies of water, Puget Sound fish is best on a pronounced ebb tide.
Yeah, what happens is these fish are moving to when the tide's coming in, they can move into area 8-2, but when the tide starts going out, it moves all those fish away from the 8-2 area and out of maybe 10 and a kind of brings them back over to Possession Bar. And, you know, and a lot of the fish just can be wandering around out in deep water, you know, so it brings them back up into the feeding areas. Yeah. But what brings them there is it brings the bait up on the bar also, which
is an extraordinary
amount of
fish. And bigger currents, like a wind out in the elk woods, it kind of puts the critters at a kind of a little more predictable location, makes them a little easier to find, Jules.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. And so anyway, we're going to dig into this. We got a quota situation. We'll talk about. I don't think it's over. It's going to close. The Marine Area 9 fishery is going to close at dusk on Sunday evening. But we got a conference call, WDFW Sport Fish Advisors, with the management group, Mark Balzell and the rest of them. And so, my gut is I think we're going to get another day or two. I can't guarantee that, but you know, we'll talk about that a little bit next segment. We got a packed show for you. Obviously, Julie Sears here with us. John, you and I are going to drag through a whole bunch of stuff. Madden Tobeck, our old partner, Robbie Tobeck, the Seahawks, former Pro Bowl center. In fact, Robbie got the biggest fish of the opener so far with me, and he didn't have a problem with that at all.
I bet he did.
So Madden Tobeck, Western Washington's young bass and gun, he's going to jump in 6:25. The tech line, we are going to drag into a little deeper into Chinook technique. Robbo's going to jump in at 0700, and then our friend Ashley Nicole Lewis is going to jump in with a coastal Chinook update. Last weekend's Bellingham Salmon Derby, pretty solid event. 24-pounder won it. Our good friend Jay Field and Kevin Klein took second place with a fine 22-pounder that was taken somewhere in the Rosario area, I'm guessing. John Kaiser's going to jump in from Westport Live, and I think he's making his first tuna run tomorrow. The temp breaks look good. It looks like we got albacore within 35 miles of Westport in good water. And then, of course, finish the show up with Roy Robinson's Really Where. But we got a whole lot to talk about. In talking to some of the management folks from WDFW on the crabbing front, we have to do a better job of keeping track of our pots. I mean, how many pots did you see running out there floating in 500 feet of water heading out to sea, John?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I'm just fishing from here to, you know, Area 7 all the time. And there's floaters all the time. I talked to Officer Kim a couple days ago. He pulled up on the last closure last week, he pulled up 60 just out of, you know, the Everett area in
right.
one day. You know, and that's just a fraction what's out floating.
Right. And so, you know, again, and we've belabored this, but crabbing's closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, okay? But also that we need to weight our pots adequately. And if you don't add about 10 pounds to the average crab pot, remember, each one of those floats about 7 or 8 pounds. So if you're using a wire mesh pot, your float has more buoyancy than your pot has ballast. And that means if you're fishing tight, you get a high tide and a little bit of wind, your pot's gone. And it doesn't have to move far for you to lose it. I mean, Puget Sound's a vast area. It really is. I mean, you're talking...
And very deep.
And yeah, and the currents are swift enough to move your gear. And if your gear moves even a half a mile, good luck trying to find it because you don't know which direction it moved. And that's a pretty big... you know, area to search. Take it from somebody that's had to search for people out on the water. That's a pretty big search area.
Well, your last pots were on a parking lot last week.
Yeah, that's true. They were real easy to find last week, no question about it. But also, if you're in the right place, you find the right location, you know, doggone it. It's fresh crab. And I know Julie Sear, last time you were here, what was that you made that was just phenomenal? It was a shrimp dish.
Well, I did the spot prawn kimchi pancakes. Those manila clams and the miso harissa broth. But then when I was on air last time, I did the whole crab, kind of like the crab sandwiches, lobster roll, but healthy, and it was so good.
Yeah, just amazing. Are you a clean your crab before you cook them kind of person? Are you cooking whole in the shell?
I cook them whole in the shell, and then I clean them after.
Gotcha.
That. Yeah.
There you go, girl. I love it.
Yeah.
Tom beats me up for cooking them whole.
Yeah.
So I've been redeemed.
No, I hear you. Woo-hoo. I don't blame you.
It's just easier. Just, you know.
Well, actually, for me, it seems like it's easier just to clean them first.
Is it really?
Right,
yeah.
Right. You know, just take the backs off.
Oh,
and shake them out. Break and shake. Right?
Yeah.
And in that way, you know, here's the thing. If you've got a chemical species in Puget Sound that's unhealthy for you, it's in the guts.
Yes.
So if you clean them before, you cook them, you tend to get less of that. You know.
True.
Now
let's turn the lights off and see if see if we're glowing in the dark.
No,
okay.
No kidding. All
first
right.
First on the show.
We're going to pop out of here for a quick break. jump on that text toy, 710-710, powered by Everroot Outboards. Give us a call on that reverse giant hotline brought to you by Weldcraft Duckworth and Northwest Boat. 866-979-3776, locally 206, or 21-3776. And, you know, you can jump in on this clean or unclean crab call yourself.
That controversy starts.
The controversy. Here
Ooh,
we go.
I like it.
Haven't been in the studio for 5 minutes yet, and we're already arm wrestling. Here we go. All right, we'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This Outdoor Line podcast is brought to you by Kitsap Marina and Port Orchard, the largest Evinrude dealer on the West Coast.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. John Martinez to my left, Julie Sear to my right, Ashley Cox behind the board. Thanks again. And the country music coming to us courtesy of country girl Ashley Cox.
Oh, it's okay. Happening today.
Oh, it's good. I like it. I like it a lot. So 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That's the reverse giant hotline brought to you by Weldcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. We got Richard from Kenmore on line one. Good morning, Richard.
How you doing, Tom?
We're hanging right in there, man. Thanks for chiming in. What's up?
I just want to let people know that there's plenty of fish in Area 10. I haven't taken a right turn out of Edmonds yet. I've been turning left every morning and finding some fish in Area 10, so I don't.
Okay, come on.
Narrow
it down for us. Come on, man. Where you been getting them? You're come on, Richard. We're going to pin you down, buddy. Where you at? Come on.
No problem, Tom. I'm at the trees down at Richmond Beach.
Nice.
I'm in 100 feet of water. I'm running Lure Jensen Green Crush Flasher, a 3-inch coyote spoon on 48 inches of leader, 2 knots, and I've caught most of my fish going with the tide.
No kidding. And so you're having no problem getting your kings down in the trees there, down in Area 10. You're getting Chinook every day.
Yeah, I should be done this morning, but I kind of had one came unbuttoned. So.
Well, because you remember last year, Richard, and the rest of us, after the Marine Area 9 fishery ran up against its quota last year, there was a definite lull in the action until Area 10 picked up. So that's great news, man, and great job. We hope to run into you out there and probably will, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, I mean, so anglers have to make a choice, Richard, and you're absolutely right. They got to adjust and either go to Area 10 or bounce out to Area 7 or do something a little bit different. But we appreciate you chiming in with the report, man.
Hey, I got just one more question for you, Tom. Did I read the new regs right that we're not going to have a blackmouth fishery till December 1st?
That's what I'm seeing, at least with regard to marine areas 8-1, 8-2, and 9. I think we're going to be, and probably in Area 10 as well,
yeah,
Richard. And
Area 10's not till December.
Right, and that is in response to the fact that those areas have been absolutely infested with sublegals. And remember, caught fish enter and impact the quota, but so do fish that are encountered, right?
Definitely. I think it's a great decision.
Yeah, it's kind of harsh because, obviously you guys, have restricted areas in which to fish now this December. But I think it's really going to pay off, especially in light of the better ocean conditions we have, Richard, and the fact that these fish are coming in, in good shape. The overall size of the Chinook that we've been encountering this year, I think is maybe down a little bit, but still they're healthy fish and they're well fed.
Right on, Tom. I appreciate it.
No, Richard, we appreciate your call, man. Take care. Good luck. We'll see you down in A-10.
All right, dude.
All right, man. You take care. Thank you very much. So, and again, just getting back to what we started talking about before the break, Marine Area 9, adversely, and that will close, at dusk tomorrow night. The quota, we've been, John, you and I have been kind of digging into the numbers a little bit, and it looks like, depending on success rates this weekend, that there should be enough left on the table for a couple of days of mop-up fishery later next week.
Well, I was just looking at the creel checks for Area 9 and Area 10. You know, the biggest day at the Everett Ramp, which is where most of the Chinook are checked, was 194 fish on opening day, and it's averaged around 100 every day since then. However, there's a lot more fish being caught, But it's still, let's say you double those numbers or triple those numbers, and you know the season still has legs. And I'm in the camp that you're in, Tom. There's 3 days left of this season.
Simple math tells me you got a 6,000 fish quota. We fish 6 days. This sport fleet has not caught 1,000 fish a day.
No way, no how.
And you and I have been out there. This is the first morning that you and I haven't been out there, and especially with Townsend not producing very well right now. You know, we'll find out. There's a conference call. Meanwhile, though, Julie Sear has found a little different program out at Fort Flagler State Park. You've been doing the kayak and beach thing, kid.
Yeah, I do a lot of the walk and wade and stand-up paddleboard kayak. So I'm and there's on a lot the of people.
We get,
side here.
We get hammered. We get hammered all the time by folks, and I'd be surprised if nobody's chimed in yet. 710-710 powered by Everett Outboards with regard to shoreline walking opportunities for Chinook or for any kind of salmon.
Yeah, I first thing I would say is make sure you've got a tide app. So Fish Head offers a great one. You pay a small fee, but it really gives you all the data in terms of the tides and moon phases and all that stuff. So if you're going to be walking and waiting, you want that app to know when the tides are coming in and out. But also, you know, make sure you're going out there with an 8-weight. A lot of us sea run cutthroat fisher, you know, anglers are usually using a 6-weight. You want to make sure you've got that 8-weight out there for coho. And yeah, it's good. So get out there. You know, they've got to pass by that point to get into Hood Canal and Puget Sound. So they're out there.
Are you seeing mostly resident coho in Area 9 then? Or are you seeing some adults already start
pushing? You're seeing some adults already start pushing through. So yeah, and so you want to get out there.
Yeah, that from the bank,
yes.
That's a challenge. Do you get your track shoes on to run up and down the bank? Or are they just... Yeah.
You know, it's really a rodeo. So you got to make sure that you're ready because those fish will run and you'll get them into shore and they'll be doing laps around you. And, you know, you're trying to manage all your gear and
they do the coho basket, alligator roll.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah. It's just amazing. So you really get into some fun fishing if you're into that.
And what patterns are you flipping out there?
You know, it's so funny because you can't ever go wrong with a clouser. I'm going to sound.
I knew you were going to say
it's so, minnows. You know, I always kind of go away from that because it sounds way too basic. Right? It's like peanut butter and jelly, but it's always effective. So, but your shrimp and krill patterns too. And, you know, those fish will take anything that's kind of bright pink or chartreuse. So
are you kind of stripping and casting from the kayak too?
Yep. You can do that too. You can bucktail, you know, kind of troll behind if you want. And sometimes they'll hit it, you know, sometimes just have your line hanging down and something will come up and bite. But really it's that strip. So once you get that cast out there, you need to make sure you've got, you know, a line that you can turn over with a fly too. So I like those coastal quick shooters. I'm a big fan of them.
Well, and you have to educate your index finger and your thumb too, because during the strip, quite often they'll strike. And if you let that line slip through your fingers on the strike, you're not going to get that hook set in.
It's true. And, you know, sometimes people want a trout set, especially if they don't have a lot of saltwater angling experience. They'll want a trout set. You're going to miss it. So you really want to make sure you keep stripping. And if you feel that tug and you're stripping in and you feel like, oh man, I just missed it. Keep
Pull
going.
Back.
Keep yeah. No, keep yeah. stripping.
Keep stripping.
You're going
to, yeah. because they're, coming back.
They're like, I want to crush that.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch them from the boat. Like if we are on top of the boat, cause you can just see them they're aggressive. It's the same way with cutthroats.
That's a lot of fun. No question about it. All right. There's another warm water species in the state, right? Well, I should say there's another fishery in the state that folks are very, very passionate about. And it's bass fishing. All right. So Robbie Tobeck jumped in the boat this week and we had fun, you know, caught our salmon, you know, released a few others, had a great time. And his son, Madden Tobeck, was nowhere to be found because he was bass fishing. Madden will not salmon fish. He'll only bass fish. And he's headed for Wazoo, but you can't hold that against him given Robbie's heritage. Madden Tobeck, Western Washington's young gun, joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Play ball! This baseball season, Heritage Distilling Company proudly sponsors the bottom of the fifth. It's kind of like the seventh inning stretch. You stand up, stretch your legs, then head over for a new bottle of BSB, brown sugar bourbon. Because when you reach the bottom of the fifth, you need to be ready with a new bottle of BSB on deck. It's the seventh inning stretch with a smooth, sweet kick to it. You can't spell baseball without BSB. Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of the bottom of the fifth and your Seattle Mariners.
From the peaks of the Olympic Mountains to your stereo, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Julie Sear, John Martinez, Ashley Cox back there. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in. On the phone, none other than Madden Tobeck. Madden, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I didn't see you in the boat this week when me and your dad were out there salmon fishing. So I know that you were probably on the warm water side of things. What's going on in Western Washington with regard to largies and smallies, buddy? What's up?
Right now, all the, you know, we're past the post-spawn fish are in the full summer pattern right now. As far as smallmouths go, you want to be fishing on the outside, deeper edge of the weed lines, deeper structure, anything you can find out there, rock piles, you know, wood, logs, anything like that, in around, I'd say 18 to as deep as 35 feet. Just anything you can find out there, really. And then I would target those fish with a drop shot or a football head. And then as far as largemouths go, you can find them in the grass or anything like that or under docks. Best thing to use for them under docks is they can be pretty, like, skittish this time of year. It's just a wacky rig Senko, wacky rig worm, anything like that.
Hey, Madden, you know, there's so many different colors of Sankos. What's your favorite color? The guys at my store that fish for smallmouth in Lake Stevens, they like purple. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color has got to be green pumpkin all day. Just the natural green pumpkin.
Yeah. Do you subscribe by using the really small drop shot or really small heads on those so that the worm goes to the bottom real slowly? What size of lead head are you using on those?
On my football head, I'm almost always using a half ounce.
Oh, that much, huh? That's amazing.
Just because I'm fishing deeper and I like it on the bottom. And what I'm doing with that is I'm usually just dragging it, so they'll come and pick it up right off the bottom. But for my drop shot, actually, I like to throw as light a weight as I can get away with. So sometimes that'll be, if it's kind of windy, I'll be throwing a 3/8 ounce weight. And then if it's not, if it's dead calm, I'll be throwing a, you know, 1/4 ounce or even a little less.
So sometimes when you're fishing those rock piles, are you going to jigs? And if you do, why don't you tell us what kind of jigs you're using?
As far as smallmouths go, I'm always using a football head style jig with no weed guard, just an open hook on it. And I'm usually threading that with a hula grub, or even sometimes I'll use a single tail grub or any type of like goby imitation, anything like that.
Hey, Matt. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Madden, this is Julie Sear here. You know, I'm usually fly fishing for smallmouth bass and largemouth bass, but my question for you would be, you know, is there a time out on Lake Stevens that's best to get out there and go fish for these?
If are you targeting them with a fly? Is that what you're...
Oh, I'm even asking you just from a gear perspective, like what time are you out there? Are you finding it's better in the, you know, that 5 o'clock hour? Are you out there, you know, bright and early?
Definitely the best time in summer is if you can get out there really early, especially if you get out there before all the boats get on the water and everything.
Yeah,
right as the sun's coming up.
There's a big jet ski hatch feeding around mid-morning.
exactly, that makes fishing tough. So yep. It's definitely best to get up right as the sun's coming up, or even in the evening as the sun's going down. But sometimes the lake can be pretty churned up at that time. So
sure.
I'd say early morning this time of year is definitely the way to go.
Western Washington Bass and Young Gun Madden Tobeck joining us this morning. And so Madden, give us some other lakes that you're working. I know different times a year, different lakes come on at different times because of their size and because of their temperature regimes. And right now we're thinking, you know, we've had some direct sunlight on the water. Are you looking at larger bodies of water so you can have a more diverse depth structure in each lake? How do you approach this warm post-spawn time of year with regard to Western Washington bass?
Yeah, well, you know, I always like to target bigger lakes just because there's more water to fish. So, you know, me personally, my favorite is Lake Washington. That way, you know, largemouth bite is tough. I can just go fish smallmouth for the like remainder of the day or however long I want to. And it just gives me more options like that. And it gives me more like water to fish, more area to cover. But at this time of year too, I do like to fish some of the smaller lakes that will only have largemouth in them.
And I'll target those with topwater frogs. It's a lot of fun this time of year over the lily pads and everything like that. And this is one of the best time of year for it. So that's a lot of fun too.
Yeah, no question about it. So when you head off to Wazoo, is that bass boat? Is it coming with you, or is it staying on Lake Washington?
You know, I would love to bring it with me. I don't have anywhere to keep it.
There's no boat parking in the dorms over at Pullman. Come on, man, you got to figure that one.
I know. I got to get some sort of parking pass for it.
Good luck, man. Hey, parking on campus is tough enough.
Man, your dad and Tom were out catching scrap fish yesterday, and you're out catching real fish. What do you have to say about that? Talk to these guys about bass, would you please?
Hey, I mean, bass fishing is what I love to do. It's definitely the thing. I did a lot of salmon fishing as I was young, and when I got into bass fishing, I never really looked back. But hey, they like to do all sorts of different things. Fishing's fishing, so I guess love it all.
Yeah, and that's it too. And of course, man, I've known you for a lot of years, man. And we've spent a bit of time on the water, and you know, I get it because bass fishing is a charm unto itself. You certainly experience a lot more strikes typically on a day of bass fishing. You get to use a lot more different techniques. You have the rod in your hand. So much of salmon fishing these days is watching that downrigger. And so I've had kids on my boat go, hey, can I even just reel it in? Cause they die a downrigger mortis. You're watching that rod and the downrigger and you're just, it just bores the kids to death. And so I applaud the fact that you've got this going on, but topwater's a gas. So give us some topwater locations, give us some topwater gear, and I want to know what kind of rod and reel you're using, because if you're not set up correctly, if you got too soft a rod, you can't get that frog to pop the way you need it to, or jump the way you need it to work.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as locations go, when I'm throwing a topwater frog, I'm only throwing those for largemouth.
Gotcha.
And I'll throw them around, in the shade. You got to look for like ambush spots. So I'll throw it in the shade next to docks. I'll try to get it under docks if I can. Lily pads are probably my favorite. Just pulling it alongside the lily pads. And, me personally, I like to work the frog pretty fast. Try to get it to walk as best as I can. And that just seems to get the most bites for me. And then as far as a rod, I'll be using a Daiwa, what I use is a Daiwa Tatula 7'4" heavy. And I'll spool that up with 50-pound braid and I'll just go straight to the frog. No leader, nothing.
That's just straight to the plug, man.
You know what I've noticed, Matt?
Hey. Got to do it.
You know what I've really noticed at my store is bass has a real attraction to the younger generation. I don't know what the reason for that is. I just observe, what we sell to them, and they really like bass fishing. What do you think the attraction is? Tom and I and your dad, we salmon fish quite a bit, but for the 25 to 35 year old group, bass fishing's really, really a big deal. What do you think spurs that on?
I think part of the attraction to bass fishing is just like the ease of like how easy it is to go spend a day on the water bass fishing. You get your license, there's not really any other hoops you have to jump through, and you can just go enjoy a day on the water. I think that's a big attraction, and also is the access people have. People can go fish off the bank and have a great day catching bass. That's hard to do when you're talking about salmon and everything like that. Unless they're in the river.
It's a great point. There is a lot of charm in that simplicity. There's not all the politics. There's not all the BS. There's not all the seasons and the quotas and the gear involved. There's a big charm to bass fishing, Matt, and I completely agree with it. So now, how do folks access? You've been doing some YouTube videos, and I know this is kind of your passion and what you want to do. So what's next for you on the bassing front, Matt and Tobeck?
Well, I'm heading to Washington State next year. I'd love to get a bass team started there. I got another buddy who lives on Lake Washington that I fish some tournaments with, and I think he's on board with me. So I think that's going to be the next move.
Madden, do you foresee fly fishing for bass in your future? I only ask because it's true. There's this big cult following, right? And and even one of my friends I was out with, that we hit Columbia River for bass, and he started out gear bass fishing. And I said, you know, Anthony, what's the attraction? He's like, I've just been doing it forever. The takes are so aggressive. It's just fun. So am I going to see you out there?
Oh, yeah. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. Absolutely not.
Yeah, not until Coach Leitz goes pounding on your door and makes you put on the crimson and gray. That's don't be surprised if that happens. Matt and Tobeck, kind enough to join us this morning, buddy. Keep in touch, man, and let me know what's happening. The next time you put up a new video, let me know, and we'll splash it around a little bit.
Absolutely, thank you very much.
All right, Madden, talk to you soon, buddy. Good luck. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Robbie Tobeck's son, Madden Tobeck, pretty outstanding athlete in his own right, and is more fired up about fishing than he is about football.
You know what I see coming? I see what's coming on right now, Tom. Cougs and Dogs bass fishing tournament.
Oh,
it will be bigger than the football game.
You have to rotate the field. You only got Lake Washington, you know, and then
versus Potholes Reservoir,
or Spokane River, or something like that. Yeah, no question about it. It's the Bass and Apple Cup, brought to you by. Yeah, no kidding. All right, we're going to pop out of here for a quick break. The text toys lighting up, 710-710, powered by Everett Outboards, with a whole bunch of Area 9 questions. So we're going to dial in Puget Sound Chinook for you. Are you going to have to change your game plan a little bit? You bet. Going to tell you how, going to tell you where, going to tell you next, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Play ball! This baseball season, Heritage Distilling Company proudly sponsors the bottom of the fifth. It's kind of like the seventh inning stretch. You stand up, stretch your legs, then head over for a new bottle of BSB, brown sugar bourbon. Because when you reach the bottom of the fifth, you need to be ready with a new bottle of BSB on deck. It's the seventh inning stretch with a smooth, sweet kick to it. You can't spell baseball without BSB. Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of the bottom of the fifth and your Seattle Mariners.
From the Pacific Ocean coast to your ears, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Tech Line, presented by BOMAC Tackle, here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Julie Sear, Ashley Cox behind the glass, John Martinez. I'm Tom Nelson, the country music again. Dude, you got to give me your playlist, kid. That's outstanding work today.
I got a large playlist.
There we go.
You
okay,
need.
Perfect.
She knows I was at Kenny Chesney last weekend.
Me too.
No Shoes Nation in the house today, no question about it. All right, so here's the thing. Area 9, you got today, you got tomorrow. Just got a report from Nikki Kester, All-Star Charters, and he's finding fish right now on 5-inch plugs on possession bar. We had a text earlier in the show from a gentleman from the 425. Let me find this text here. We drag bottom at West Possession Bar yesterday, excuse me, from the 360, drag bottom at West Possession with spoons, no strikes, need basics, need help, what's the deal? So here's the thing, John. You and I kind of have diverging opinions with regard to where to fish the bar on what tide. There's kind of the river theory, rock theory, which states that listen, you're going to find steelhead and other river fish behind a current obstruction, and so you kind of like to fish the side of the tide that you like to fish in the eddy, if you will, or on the backside. I like to fish the tideward side, or the part of the bar that the tide's crashing,
pushing up against.
I'm just thinking that the bait kind of gets pulled or pushed into pronounced edges, which that's all possession bar is. It is a fish trap. It's a really pronounced edge. It's a sandy bar that drops off steeply on virtually all sides. So if you are experiencing flood in the morning, as we did earlier this week, I like the west bar. On the ebb, I like the tin shed drift or the east bar itself. And I've seen a lot of guys in the horseshoe hooking up. I've seen a lot of guys in the tin shed, and that's where Nikki is right now, which is, you know, everybody has a map of possession bar installed, and it's your left hand. So if you hold your left hand out, the heel of your hand is possession point, and your little finger is sachet head. So your index finger in this scenario, if you're holding your left hand out with your palm up, your index finger would be that part of the bar that's known as the tin shed. And so that's a great place to be on a morning ebb. So my advice to this gentleman that was fishing first thing yesterday, and if he was dragging the west part of the bar on that ebb, I would say if you were up on the sachet side, you may have been on the wrong place on that ebb. John, what's your opinion with
your... Well, my opinion's changed quite a bit. You know, it's just... you know, the bait moves up and down that bar. Yesterday early afternoon, the bait was just flipping from one side to the other.
Yeah.
Just these huge bait schools that would be on the west side, and 30 minutes later it would be over on the other side. So I was just crossing back and forth and following that bar to hook up. And it was deeper yesterday. Now, around noon yesterday, that bait was in 90 feet of water, and there wasn't those huge bait schools. Early in the morning yesterday, when you called me over to the bar to enjoy some really, really good fishing, the huge bait schools on the very tip. Now, if you want to make it real easy instead of using your hand, Tom, this is where we have diverging opinions again. Just speak into your phone, John Sporting Goods, yeah. 10 Shed Drift, and there's a map right there. Just, you know, put your hand back on the fishing rod. Put your hand back in your pocket.
There we go. Yeah, no question about it.
But you have a good point there, Tom. And I'm going to make it a little more complicated. Every year it's different.
It is.
Yeah. Last year at this time, I was on the flood tide. I was just crushing the fish on the southeast corner. Tom, you could hang your hat and go in there, and you're going to have two fish in the boat just instantly, or four if you have four people in the boat. This year, like 2 years ago, the fish are all the way at the end of the 10 Shed Drift, which is on the southern end of the bar. Now, the other thing that you and I both are doing differently this year is we're using a different lure selection.
And I got to give kudos to Kelly Morrison and of course his partner in crime, Nelson Goodsell. They're very innovative with regard to new colors and new patterns and whatnot. But this year, the standby for us
has been
green spatterback ace high.
Yeah.
And I'm fishing it on a shorter leader than I typically do to really get that whip. There's something about a shorter leader.
What length are you using? I've been using 36.
36, 34,
yeah.
36.
Sure,
yeah.
Right in there.
And so the reason behind that is that ace high fly has absolutely no action in and of itself. If you don't have that thing tight to a flasher, it's just staying there. It's just dead.
And do not put a herring strip on it. There are so many dogfish.
And that's an excellent point because, you know, there are certain areas in Puget Sound right now where you can fish bait and you can do well, you know, and obviously the moochers at Point Wilson, the moochers at Point No Point are doing just fine fishing herring. I know some folks that are fishing herring as far out as Mid Channel Bank, but once you get in, I would say Norwegian Point or Skunk Bay is about the cutoff because there are so many dogfish right there that on inside. If you're using a bait presentation, you're going to get bit. But it's going to be Squalus acanthius, our Puget Sound spiny dogfish.
Yeah, in the trolling speed, you know what I've noticed, Tom, is the trolling speed. You know, I caught fish yesterday trolling against the tide and with the tide. Gosh, you know, a lot of times trolling one direction or the other seems to make a lot of difference. But
it does.
The last few days, it hasn't mattered too much. In fact, when we were fishing over there at Pilot Point, I noticed yesterday that the majority of the anglers were hooking up. I like fishing with the tide, so do you do over there. But I noticed a lot of the anglers were trolling against the tide hooking up, and they were doing quite well. So
it kind of depends.
You have to compensate though for the amount of cable you let out.
It depends on where you are in the drag too.
Yes.
Once last week there was a hold into it kind of tide going on because it wasn't that pronounced of an ebb. And you think about how that current enters Puget Sound as it comes around No Point. It comes around if you're on the 80 foot line, there is a reduced current, almost a back set in there.
Yes.
And so some of those fish were hanging out in there because there was a lot of bait on the inside. And that was really good, like Wednesday or Thursday. It was really solid holding into it. And then come Friday, we had enough of that early morning ebb. And now we're coming into the point of this series of tides where we do have morning ebbs. And so different places are going to fish first thing in the morning. So again, now looking at next week and Monday and Tuesday, you know, I'm going to be fishing every day this week. And one of the things I'm looking at is that pronounced morning ebb. And maybe running out to Hind Bank, maybe running out to the bottom of Area 7 where you can have two hatchery fish rather than one. And a lot of those banks fish pretty good on an ebb tide. If that's not to your liking, if you don't want to make that big of a run, then get down to Area 10. Richard from Kenmore called, second segment of the show. He says he's been popping out of Edmonds and making a left. He has not even been messing with Area 9. And where we are up against a little bit of a quota situation with regard to Area 9, and we'll talk a little bit more about that the rest of the show, Area 10 is at 10%. We're not going to
And the quota's bigger than
the
a
quota's
nine.
Quota's bigger. Well, it's not right. It's bigger than it's been in the past.
Yep.
It's not
okay.
as big as nine.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was
No,
larger.
But your point is well taken in that we're at, you know, we're going to see a big effort shift into 10. I think that we're going to start grinding into that Chinook quota in 10, but we're not at a danger right now, in my opinion, of running up against that, you know, right into, I would say we're fine at least in the third week of August.
For a little historical data, it normally gets good the first week of August. Now, the fish are moving into the central part of Puget Sound earlier than last year, but last year when we were really catching a lot of fish down in Area 10, was the first week of August. So those fish are just ready to make that push where they're going to move a little deeper in the sound. And don't forget about fishing Jeff Head on the south side of the bar.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. And I love Jeff Head on a flood, too.
Yeah, a lot of those fish are going to South Sound.
So John, one of the things that's going on right now is a lot of guys are fishing either the Silver Horde Ace High Plug or Silver Horde Slip Plugs or Tomic Plugs, okay, 5- and 6-inch plugs. The cool thing about fishing plugs for salmon is they're a bit of a filter with regard to sublegals, with regard to rockfish, with regard to dogfish, okay? You tend to catch salmon more than anything else running plugs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it'll cut down. There's a lot of dogfish, and you know, they're not biting on them. There's so many that you're snagging them. But you know, it's just it's a little cleaner way to fish. I'm going to tell a good just to move on the gear setup here a little bit. Do not attach a snap swivel to the front of the plug.
Oh, good point.
Because it makes it easy. Tie directly to the plug. If you want to do anything, tie a 30-inch leader with a good ball-bearing snap swivel up.
Yeah,
with
a nice,
swivel.
Clear 50-pound test.
Yes.
Yeah. And double knot that stuff. You know, tie a
5-aught hook.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. If you got a 5-inch plug, even a 5 or a 6-aught, if you're talking about Gamakatsu, open-eye Siwash hooks, even a 6-aught. In fact, I hung a 7-aught. On one. And reason, I know that sounds like a huge hook, but the Gamakatsu Big River series are a little bit smaller than your typical Siwash hook. So keep that in mind. So, and the rule of thumb generally is you got a 5-inch plug, put a 5-aught, 6-inch plug, put a 6-aught,
right.
You know, but here's the thing. Do not snap a plug on and do not put it in back of a flasher. Let that thing speak for itself. But what happens if you do use a snap swivel is the fact you're going to deaden the action of that plug. And that's not what you want. By tying a mono right to the tow bar or right to the ring in the case of a Silver Horde Ace High plug, you're going to allow that plug to have its fish finding action. And that's exactly what you want, John.
Yeah. Yeah, and a real good tip for fishing out on the bar right now, a lot of the fish yesterday that were caught yesterday, including several of the fish that we hooked up, we caught them suspended, Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you were fishing, but we were fishing one rig on the bottom and one about 25 feet off the bottom, and the one 25 feet off the bottom was getting hit pretty regularly.
In certain current conditions, you're going to find bait layered on the bottom. If you find that on your sounder, you can run.
And that's the reason
above,
I did it.
Above that school of bait. Again, salmon's eyes are on top of his head. They're competitive predators that will attack from below. And so if you're running your gear at or above the fish's depth, then you're going to get bit. Julie Sear, I'm going to hand you a nice, fresh piece of Chinook salmon. You know, the front part where, you know, you got the belly right there and the whole bit. What are you doing with it?
Oh my gosh, I really just like salmon really simple, so I'll just grill it and use a little bit of lemon, salt, and pepper, and some fresh herbs. A lot of fresh herbs. I kind of use them like salad.
I'm going Montreal steak seasoning and lemon pepper. I'm gonna let that sit. I love Montreal steak.
So
I do.
I use that quite a bit.
You know, I think that's a guy thing because people send me this stuff in packages. Like I get seasoning sent to me all the time and. I just like making everything really fresh because I think it makes the flavors of the salmon when it's that fresh are so good. It's hard to like want to cover it up.
There's nothing the matter with sea salt, pepper, and some lemon rind. That would absolutely do it.
That's just
and then get your barbecue hot.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little smoke on there.
Yeah.
Okay, with a little chunk of alder, and then you get the grill hot. Clean it. Hit it with a grill spray, and throw that piece of fish on there, and you're gonna get the nice grill marks and the smoke. and then the edges of it are going to start to curl a little bit. You've turned the barbecue down
from high heat.
You
just want to eat the crispy skin.
No, that's the advantage to cooking it right there.
I know, it's so good.
Hey, what happened to the belly? Oh, it fell off while I was cooking. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, exactly. It was lost. It was breakage. Lost in the process. No, so when you get that, and you're going to see the edge of that filet start to curl.
Yep.
Now be patient because you still got to get the rest of that thing cooked. So
yes,
I'm like, maybe 7 minutes, not 10. Okay.
Yeah.
Not 10 minutes. And then you need to get two big flippers, work it up, and then flip it in one piece, and then let it finish. So you're finishing it skin side down. You started it skin side up. Now you got those beautiful grill marks on top of that filet. And if your mouth is not watering right now, then go change the radio station because you're not one of us, right?
I got something else for you though.
Okay, fire away.
Yes.
But I gotta finish. There's a suture line down the middle of that filet.
Yes.
Right? And when you can drop that spatula into it and it breaks apart, it's done.
Perfect.
Take it off. Take it off. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that tip.
Take it off.
I didn't know that.
And it'll finish. If there's parts, because when you pull it off, it's still cooking. Keep that in mind.
Let it rest.
Yeah, let it rest.
Just like a good filet.
Okay, so I interrupted you.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm definitely on the, I don't like to overcook my salmon or my steak. So, but I was going to say, since it is so good, like at the farmer's markets right now, and actually I just posted a few weeks ago about like Rainier cherry season. We're still in that season. I made a cherry salsa that I threw on top of salmon. So just shallots, cherries, some cilantro, a little lime juice, salt, pepper, and chimichurri.
We're up against a break, but Ashley's in. I think Ashley's in with the salmon barbecued and the
I'm
the
really hungry right now.
All right, we're killing her. All right, we're gonna pop out here for a quick break. Our old buddy Rob Enns are gonna jump in the Northwest Outdoor Port. Ashley Nicole Lewis is jumping in with some coastal salmon, Jet Chevrolet picks of the week, and a whole lot more in hour two right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
A special opportunity from Heritage Distilling Company. The most awarded craft distillery in North America for the fifth year in a row is growing so fast, we thought the timing is perfect to give you a chance to join our family and invest in our company. This is not an offer to sell or a solicitation to buy any securities here or in any jurisdiction where such an offer is unlawful. Any private placement of the company's common stock can only be sold to accredited investors under federal law. The time is now for a very limited time. Log on to heritagedistilling.com/investors.